recently reviewed my medical records, had the ability to do that online, and as I was going through the records, I was a bit surprised at a note made by a nurse. There was, at the bottom of one entry, a note by a nurse which said, "The patient said thank you." Of all the things to put in that medical record, and I guess that could be understood in a good way or a bad way, but of all the things to include in a medical record, I thought, why include thank you in that entry? Today, if you've been here for a couple weeks, you know that we want to continue to engage in our study of the Apostle Paul. Any study of Paul's life must include some information about thankfulness. Paul, as we look at his life, as we look at his letters, he was a man who was very, very thankful. We're going to approach this from what I think is a very, what I consider to be a very basic standpoint. We're going to look at Paul's thankfulness from the perspective of the word thank. Then we're going to look at that from the perspective of the word thanks, plural. And then we will close it out with some information about Paul and thanksgiving. We begin with Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. As Paul writes to these Christians, he said, "I thank God for you." As Paul looked at some fellow Christians, he said to them, "I want you to know that as I think about you, I have good thoughts. As I look at you, I am thankful to God for you." You are, as Paul thought about these Christians, he told them, you are some very fine folks. This verse in the first chapter of Romans says that the faith of these Christians, it was known throughout the whole world. It's easy for people to be thankful when someone has their act together. It may be a parent and a child. It may be a work situation, whatever it might be. If people seem like they're functioning well, it's easy to be thankful for them. But what about in a case where people don't have their act together? What about in a case where things are chaotic with a person? If Paul had a bunch of Christians, a group of Christians, who, as we look at the congregation, things were not going well, it was a chaotic place, would Paul still have been thankful for them? That question has already been answered from the scripture that Michael read, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. We know as we look at the Corinthian letter that this congregation was literally filled with problems. And yet, in spite of all the problems, before Paul begins to deal with the issues, what do we find in 1 Corinthians 1, 1 to 4? Paul writes to these Christians, and he says to them, just like with the Romans, Romans 1 and verse 8. But in 1 Corinthians 1, 1 to 4, he says, "I thank God for you. You're messed up. You have some significant problems. Things are chaotic at Corinth. There's some things that really need to be fixed." And yet, before he gets to condemnation, even in the first chapter, he says, "I want you to know, in spite of all the bad things that are taking place at Corinth, I thank God for you." Well, let's make that practical for a moment. When was the last time we turned to God and said, "I'm thankful for my brethren"? Oh, there may be some Christians who are closer to us than other Christians, but are we thankful for fellow saints, whether they are members of this congregation or Christians elsewhere? Have we ever said to a fellow Christian, "I am thankful to God for you"? We can be thankful for what someone does, that's certainly right, but we can also be thankful to God for who people are, fellow Christians. As we look at Paul, as we start exploring his appreciation, his thankfulness, his gratitude, we find that there are times where he was grateful for his gifts. As we think about Paul, the 1 Corinthians letter, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 18, we find that he had the gift to speak in tongues. Not only did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 14, 18, "I have the ability to speak in tongues," he told the Corinthians, "I have the ability to speak in tongues more than you do." Now, the exact meaning of that is debated. It's something that merits some discussion, I guess, but not today. We don't know exactly what Paul had in mind when he made that point to the Corinthians. One simple explanation, maybe the most logical explanation, is that the gift of tongues came in degrees. And if that's the idea, then Paul said to the Corinthians, "I have this gift, you have this gift. But even though we both have this gift," Paul said, "my ability to speak in tongues is greater. It's more pronounced. I can speak in more languages that I have never learned than you can." Paul looked at the abilities that he had in life and he was grateful. The next time we get some good news, be thankful. The next time we get some bad news, we can also be grateful. Look at what we have and look at what we don't have. Sometimes it's good to go back and think about that old truth, whether or not the glass is half empty or half full. There are a lot of people who, as they go through life, they see the glass half empty. The news for them is always bad. But then you find some people, it's that same glass. But for them, the glass is not half empty. The glass is half full. That was how Paul saw life, at least for the most part. As he writes to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, "But we are bound, we're obligated to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, for that God chose you from the beginning unto salvation and sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." As Paul writes to Christians, thankfulness is never far from his mind. If we're somehow dissatisfied in life, and that's easy to do as we struggle with various things as we go through our day-to-day existence, one quick, one easy fix is thankfulness. Rather than reason God has not given me, or God has not allowed me to have, or I don't have this, this, and the other thing, begin to count up what God has allowed us to have. Begin to consider what he's given us both in the past and in the present. Begin to go through the list of not only physical blessings, but also spiritual blessings. And if you want a beginning point, somebody says, well, okay, that sounds like that would be a good thing to do, but I'm not quite sure where to start. We could start in the same place where Paul did. Moving over a page from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul said in that 12th verse, going back again to the idea of thankfulness, he says, I thank God. God enabled me. Even Christ Jesus our Lord, he counted me faithful. He appointed me to a service. Paul looked at God and he said, one of the things that I'm thankful for is that God has allowed me to become a Christian. I'm a child of God, and I'm grateful for that. If you were to continue to read in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul said, I didn't deserve this. He said, before I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, I was injurious, I did it ignorantly, and I was not in the right state of belief. But God was gracious to me. God was merciful to me. He allowed me to learn the truth. He allowed me to obey the truth. He's allowed me to be a servant of the truth. I finally have come to the light. And thank God for that. That can be true for us. Maybe we were not a blasphemer. Maybe we were not a persecutor. Maybe we were not injurious like Paul. But we were someone who, if we are now a Christian, we were previously headed on the wrong path. I don't know if you've ever pondered this question or not. I do from time to time. But have you ever sat down with yourself one day at some point in time and said, I wonder what my life would be like right now, this very moment, if I'd not become a Christian? Now, there's obviously no way that we can tell exactly what life would be like had we not become a Christian, but chances are we can get at least a general direction. If we look at the way our life was going prior to the time that we became a Christian, and had we continued on that path, what this day would our life likely be like? What kinds of things would we now be doing had we not become a Christian X number of years ago or months ago, whatever it might be? There are some Christians who would say, today I'd be dead. Had I not become a Christian like Paul, I would be poverty stricken because of the bad habits that I was involved with or the bad things that I was doing. Had I not become a Christian, I'd be behind bars. Had I not become a Christian, my family would have been destroyed. You can go down the list and find all the possible bad consequences. When Jesus Christ transforms a life, 1 Timothy 1, 12 and 13, that is a reason to be thankful. Now, those are a few of the key references that use the word thank in conjunction with Paul. So let's take a look at this second word that we want to examine this morning. And this is the word thanks, plural. Going back to the book of Romans, the first chapter, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul uses the word thanks in conjunction with the Gentiles. Paul spoke of people who thought they were wise. They thought they were so smart, so brilliant. They thought that they have really achieved something in life. And Paul said, you're foolish. It's all foolishness. He said, you've engaged, or the Gentiles had engaged in vain reasoning. He said, you have hearts which are darkened. Paul associated a number of sins with the Gentiles, and that was correct. But one of those sins which should really stand out for us is the lack of thankfulness. Giving, offering thanks can seem like such a small thing. And maybe from some perspectives, it is. But it's also, as Paul shows in Romans 1 and verse 21, an important thing. Going back to the medical record that we began with, and again, I still shake my head at that. Why would that nurse put in that record, the patient thanked me? Was that because I'm normally not thankful? I don't think, looking at my life, that would be the correct answer. I'm wondering, though, did she make that observation because the people that she deals with on a regular basis, they're not generally appreciative? Is she someone who, as she looks at her job, there is sick person after sick person after sick person after sick person that comes in, perhaps grumpy and grouchy, perhaps leaves grumpy and grouchy, and rarely expresses gratitude? I don't know. Or maybe that was just a particular day where few people expressed any appreciation. I do know this. I do know that sick people are not always thankful people. You remember that little story about Jesus healing 10 men who were lepers? The Bible says they all head on their way. There was only one who came back and expressed appreciation to the Lord. That lack of thankfulness is associated with the heathen in Romans 1 and verse 21. When we think about our public school teachers right now, and I've talked with several of them over the last number of years, you find that many public school teachers are now spending a good bit of their time trying to teach basic manners to kids. things that we would have thought that they're going to get that from home or they're going to get that from their religious group. Basic manners. Now, some public school teachers find that basic manners are lacking in the students that they teach and that they need to give instruction in this basic area of life. Manners are good. Manners need to be taught. But are we not safe or secure in saying that manners are also taught in the Bible? If people would simply read the scriptures, if people would simply follow the scriptures, good manners would be or should be one of the things that follows from that. Good manners, politeness, respectfulness, and yes, thankfulness would likely be more common if people simply read God's book and tried to apply it. I find it interesting. That is, there seems to be a drift more and more in our society as people move further and further away from God and His Word. There also seems to be a corresponding shift in the lack of manners and decorum. In fact, as we look at adults right now, we find, do we not, many cases where there was a lack of civility. Look at what happened recently when we think about the Supreme Court hearings. You may not like this guy or you may not like this woman who's being put forth for a particular function or job or office, but still basic civility. We also find as we look at some of our politicians, they're fearful, they're scared. They have come to the conclusion that now the opposition that they have may involve violence. One cannot help but suspect that there is a strong connection between less emphasis on Scripture and basic civility. Basic manners are taught in Scripture, and they should be followed by God's people. Extending appreciation to men is right, but we certainly don't want to leave out God. In Romans 6 and verse 17, Paul said, "But thanks be to God." There he uses the plural. Appreciation I'm expressing to God. He does the same thing a little later in Romans chapter 14 and verse 6. And if that's not enough, we find that even Jesus, as he went through life, he expressed appreciation. Paul recalled how in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24, Jesus gave thanks. If the Lord gave thanks, if the Lord expressed appreciation, then how can we possibly do any less? There are multiple reasons that might be offered for why a person might give thanks. One of the reasons that I'm going to cite comes from the Corinthian letter, the end of the book, or almost the end of the book, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. This is perhaps one of the greatest reasons. Paul, as he comes almost to the end of the 15th chapter, he says in that 57th verse, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Imagine being an employee, a man, a husband, and you have finished up your work day, and it has been one of those days where it was the worst possible day. You come home, you're incredibly frustrated, your family is there, and you begin to express the frustration from your day to your wife. And after you have pretty much gone through the laundry list of all the bad things that happened to you that day, your wife turns to you and says, "At least you can be thankful that you still have a job." Well, that's happened to some guys. And I suspect that when the wife offered that sentiment, the husband probably wasn't too enthused about it. Well, yes, that's true, but there was all the other things that I listed. Or let's flip it around a little bit. It's the wife who's the homemaker. And she also has one of those days where everything goes wrong. The kids have not done a single thing correctly when it comes to right behavior. And by the time the day ends, the mom is at her wit's end. The husband finally comes home. And as soon as he gets in the door, he doesn't even have a chance to sit down. The wife is there relaying how awful things were and how everything is wrong. The husband listens to his wife. And after she has gone through her large list of all the things that went awful and bad and wrong, the husband says, "Were the children lost today? Were the children stolen today? Have any of the children been diagnosed with a terminal disease?" The wife has to say, "Well, no, no, and no." Now, that's, again, not exactly what she wants to hear, but the husband can point out, at least we have three reasons to be thankful. Mom probably doesn't want to hear that, but all those things are absolutely right. Let's apply it in another way. Here's the Christian, a member of a local congregation. And that Christian, and especially the local church, happen to be going through a very difficult time, especially with a local congregation. Things get bad. The local preacher quits. The elders resign. The deacons are done. Some families leave. All looks lost and perhaps hopeless. And then there is a Christian who, as they're going through all that chaos, the good brother stands up and says, "You know what? We still have some things to be thankful for. There is still, maybe smaller, maybe not as strong as before, but we still have a congregation of God's people in town. We still have fewer than we had before, but we still have some workers to work. But you know, most importantly, that passage back there in 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, I didn't forget about it. God gives us the victory. That victory is still available. And that victory from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57 is still achievable. We do have something to be thankful for. Paul brings this to mind as well in the 2 Corinthians letter, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. He said, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest through us the savor of his knowledge in every place." Or we could add 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. "But thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift." We still have some great things to be thankful for in life. The world, as we think about it, often likes to concentrate on what's foul or wrong. Paul talked about the coarse jokes of the world, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4. But in contrast to that, Paul said, if you're a Christian, as you go through life, be thankful for what you have. There is that inheritance that God has reserved for his people. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. And Paul said, when you think about that inheritance, you have a reason to be grateful. Giving thanks is so important. We may remember from the 18th verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul said, in everything give thanks. So we have the idea of thank, and the idea of thanks being found often in Paul's writings. We have this idea of thankfulness as well. And as we start thinking about these words, we would perhaps expect to find them somehow associated with prayer. That would be a logical connection, and that would certainly be a scriptural connection. You may remember from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and verse 6, Paul said, nothing, be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. I don't know how long you pray, or how often you pray throughout the week. But I would like to this day challenge you to do something over the next 7 days. If you're not in the habit of praying every single day, point number one, to challenge you to pray from today through next Sunday. And in your prayers, in every single prayer that you offer from today through next Sunday, find at least one thing to be thankful for. Hopefully multiple things, but find some things to be thankful for. Your thankfulness might include this congregation. Your thankfulness might include specific Christians. Maybe your thankfulness is going to revolve around the fact that had you not become a Christian, you probably would be doing some other things that certainly would not be good and possibly would have led to your death or put you behind bars. Find thankfulness in the bad circumstances of your life. Reflect in those bad circumstances and consider, ponder how it could have been far, far worse. And if you're able to do that for the next 7 days, today through next Sunday, then after you've had that level of success, try to do that for the next seven and the next seven and the next seven. The Colossians in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7 were told to not only be thankful, but Paul said to these Christians, I want you to abound in thanksgiving. I want you to make this a significant part of your life. I want this to be something that you do on a regular basis. Some abound in their ability to cast insults and verbal injuries. Others seem to abound in their lack of appreciation. But Paul told the Colossians, we can abound when it comes to thanksgiving. He says, as far as a Christian life, that can be a strong suit for us. That can be something that we're known for, whether it's by others or by God. Learn to be thankful. Learn to be appreciative, regardless of what our circumstances are in life. The saved should get used to being thankful, because the Bible says that's going to be a part of eternity. If you've never picked this up, passages like Revelation chapter 7 and verse 12, where John gives us a picture of a heavenly scene, John describes their appreciation, gratitude. And it's not only appreciation or gratitude, but it is presented from the standpoint of eternal or everlasting gratitude. John talks about thanksgiving to God forever and ever, without end. What God has done for us in the spiritual realm is worthy of never-ending gratitude. We might say to someone, thank you for something, and it was one time, and that's more than enough. Maybe we didn't even need to express appreciation for it the one time, or maybe we give appreciation two or three times because it merits that. But when it comes to the spiritual realm, the gratitude needs to be rightfully so great that it never, ever stops. The benefits associated with Christianity are so wonderful. Eternal appreciation is the only logical reaction. And that thanksgiving to God should begin now. It should be part of our daily life. It should be something that we're already in the habit of. Some will start to think about it a little later in the year. We're going to get into the time of Thanksgiving. We're going to get into the time of Christmas. Don't wait that long. Learn to be someone who abounds in thanksgiving day in and day out. It's the best way to live. Sometimes people take a note of it, like that nurse. Sometimes not. But regardless of how people receive it, God always notes whether or not we take thanksgiving seriously. This morning, do we have some things to be thankful for? Are we thankful that God's word is available in our language, that we can have a copy of it? Are we thankful that we have the opportunity, the ability to read it and understand it? Are we thankful that we've had the opportunity to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are we thankful that God's grace and mercy have given us an opportunity to repent? Are we grateful that we have the mental capacity to conclude that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are we thankful that Jesus has given us the opportunity to be baptized into a spiritual body of the church so we can have every single sin forgiven? Are we grateful that we can be a faithful member of his church to walk in the newness of life every single day, Romans 6 and verse 4? So much to be grateful for. How sad to have all those potential blessings and the person says, no, no, no. And then in eternity. Focus on how, perhaps, that lack of gratitude has sealed their eternal fate forever and ever without God. We have much to be thankful for. Today we hope you're headed on that path. If you've not yet become a Christian, today you can start. If you have become a Christian and you've wavered a little bit from that path, today you can go back. If we can help you become a Christian, strengthen you in your Christian faith, or aid you in another way, will you let us know what your need is? And do that now, please, as we stand and sing the selected song.